Guess I should get powered up here. We do thank the Lord for allowing us to be in Southeast Asia and to share His word. There is no greater delight, there's no greater blessing than just for us to sit and watch this presentation and remember what God has done.
Praise God.
And to know what He is going to do, and the testimony of these in the slide presentation, I know to you they're very two-dimensional, and I trust that they're a blessing to you. But what we're trying to do is bring a three-dimensional to you, these people that God gave His life for through His blessed Son, Jesus Christ. And they heard the gospel and got saved, and their lives were changed. And what a tremendous blessing that is. Tonight I want to bring a message in the same line and theme as a message this morning. And it's talking about the call of God, and this is a burden on our heart. We're not seeing men heed the call of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not seeing men heed the call of God as missionaries to go into the world and preach His word. And our heart is that we might be a people of prayer, and that we would truly pray the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. But it's not just on the praying side, it's on the listening side. And we have to be a people of expectation. We have to be listening for the Lord. We have a game we play. You may be familiar with this game. I don't know exactly where it originated, but the young people, and actually the old people, love the game. When we have a fellowship, we'll take the group. We did this in our vacation Bible school with the children. We take however many are there, we divide them in half. If they're about 30, then you have 15 on each team. And you take a piece of cloth, or we use a blanket. And you take the blanket and you stretch it across the room. And say if you have 15 people on this side and 15 people on this side, and then you have two people holding the blanket across. And then the leader of the game will point to someone here and tell them to slip up. Get right at the edge of the blanket. Crawl up so no one can see them. And then they'll point to this side and tell them to slip up. And so if you're holding the blanket, you have two people on their knees, and they're just, their faces are this far apart. And it's really interesting. You can even take siblings. They grew up together, siblings. And this is the most fun, to call siblings. And what you do is you drop the blanket. And the first one to call the other person's name captures that person for their team. And the amazing thing is how many times the blanket drops, you have a brother and a sister, and they're sitting there saying, I mean, it's your brother. But they can't remember their name. You know, they're trying to think of what the name is. And as you think about this game, you think about, well, why is it so difficult? And it all boils down to this: expectation. You don't expect to see that person right there in front of you. And so it takes a moment to catch on. And I just mentioned that to try to get us into a mindset that we might be expecting to hear from God tonight. That we will come with an expectation. That we are going to recognize God's voice, that we are going to recognize God's word, that we are going to recognize God's call, and that expecting to hear it, we are not going to hesitate. You know that little saying, he who hesitates is lost? How true it is. How true it is. Wasn't that true for King Agrippa? Yeah. Wasn't that true for Festus? Wasn't that true for Felix? They listened, but they said, we'll hear you again about this matter. They hesitated. And we need to come expecting to hear, and we need to expect, we need to determine in our hearts right now that we were going to answer the Lord. We are going to do what he would have us to do, because God is speaking. And if we will be praying and expecting, God is going to move in our hearts. Years ago, there is a missionary friend in Singapore. His name is Dr. Worth Worley. He lives not too far from here, down in Princeton. I think that's a part of North Carolina. But at least he always claimed it was. But not too far from here. But he had been in Korea for years, and then he was in Singapore. And he was getting up in age, and he had a son-in-law who was going to Eastern Russia. I mean, right over China, Eastern Russia. Cold, cold, cold. People were cold, cold, cold. And Dr. Worley was telling me, he said, I just have a fear in my heart about my son-in-law going up there on a first-time mission by himself. And Dr. Worley asked us to pray. He said, pray for him. Pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, will send forth laborers into his harvest and send someone to go with him. And Dr. Worley would rise up every morning about 4:30, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray. And after about a month or so, we were talking, and he said, well, God called a man to go with him. And I said, who did he call? And he said, me. He said, Lord, he said, I'm too old. He said, it's cold up there. And I'm too old. But see, he invested his life. He invested his heart in this call. And he was willing, and God sent him and his son-in-law up into this city in Russia. And the Lord blessed and started a church in very difficult circumstances. And so it's about expecting, it's about investing, it's about listening, and it's about obeying. And it's about just praying and saying, Lord, if it is me, then me. You know, then send me. God is calling. The scripture teaches us. Just let me read these few verses. In Romans chapter 1, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all them in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do you see a pattern developed here? God is calling. God is working. And God is calling. The question is, are we listening? Are we expecting to hear the voice of God? Are we expecting to hear the word of God calling us? I just want to look at three calls tonight very quickly. The first is that call of God to salvation. I got saved when I was 22 years old, and I was not seeking God. I was not interested in religion. I was not interested in church. I was interested in what we call the American dream. and we got married. Brian and I got married. We had a son. We bought a house. We had two cars. Had gotten ourselves into a respectable amount of debt. It was just what everybody was working toward. We both grew up in Fairfax, Virginia. I was working for an engineering company there. And becoming a Christian, getting saved, was the last thing on my mind. But we had a man in our office, a man in our area, who would come in on Monday, and he would say, let me tell you what happened at church yesterday. And we would tell him, we're not interested. I'm not interested. Go away. But you know what? He wouldn't go away. He kept coming. He kept telling us about the Lord. He would come at lunchtime, and he had a pattern. At lunchtime, he would sit at his desk. He would pack his lunch. He would get his drink, and he would read his Bible. He would pray. I watched him because he claimed to be a Christian. You know, unsaved people are mean. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He claimed to be a Christian. I was going to catch him at something. But he prayed over his lunch. He ate his lunch. He read his Bible. And then once he threw that brown bag away, you could know he picked up his Bible and he was coming to your desk if you were in the office. And he would set his Bible down and he said, Steve, read this. I said, I don't want to know. I have a Bible. You know, I'm not interested, you know. Do you understand that? And he said, yes, that's why I'm here. Because you're not interested. I'm here. I'm going to tell you. And I am ashamed to say I was not kind to him. But it did not seem to faze him. He just continued to pray. He continued to witness. He continued to open up his word and share God's word, his Bible, and share God's word with me. And he would read, and over a period of almost 2 years, he witnessed. And I was on my way home from work. I was sitting in my car at a place called Fairfax Circle. And if you've ever been to Washington, you understand traffic. Even back in 1972, we had terrible traffic. I was sitting there in traffic at Fairfax Circle, and for some reason, that's what I thought at the time, I started thinking, if I got in an accident and died, I would go to hell. And I started, this is really ridiculous. What do you, why are you thinking about dying and going to hell? And traffic didn't start, and I sat there and I considered these things, and I began to remember the scriptures that he had shared with me. And there in my car by myself, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me and to save me. And he did. And I went home and I walked through the door and I told Bonnie I got saved today. Well, her dad had got saved when she was a teenager. She grew up in a rough home. And her dad had gotten saved. So she knew that there was a change coming. So I walked up and I said, I got saved. And she said, oh, there's a change coming in our lives. And we thank God for that change. And we want to tell you today that the people are most afraid. You want to go to the number one thing people are afraid of? It's change. Right. It's change. The number one thing people fear is change. Even changing to a better situation scares you. It scares us. If we are in a bad situation and going to change to a good situation, it scares us. If we are in a good situation and going to change to a better situation, it still scares us. We are afraid of change. And many times people would rather stay in a horrible situation because at least they know what's going to happen tomorrow. At least they know that. They're settled in that. But I thank God for change. I thank God that he changed our lives and we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord that old things were passed away and old things became new. I thank the Lord for his stepping in to our lives when I wasn't looking for him. But God came and he called. He called, and this was his purpose. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and I was lost. And you were lost when God stepped into your lives. And maybe there's someone here tonight that's lost. And And we want to encourage you that change is good, that God's call is right.
Amen.
And I pray tonight that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What a wonderful thing it is when God intervenes in our lives. Oh, he knows what the end is. He knows what our path is. And I thank the Lord that he sent someone into my life to just grab hold of me and say, stop and listen a moment. Just stop and consider this. See, God is not unreasonable. As a matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. If we will simply stop and we will ask God, Lord, what do you want for my life? What is your purpose? And his purpose is salvation to his honor and to his glory. Tonight, are you saved? Tonight, do you hear the call of the Holy Spirit inside convicting your heart? I was sitting in my car. I was as by myself could be. But I was not alone. I wasn't alone. The Holy Spirit of God convicting. Oh, I pray tonight that God would work. We find that his call is for salvation. We find his next call once we're saved is to discipleship. He doesn't just call us and leave us alone. He has called us for a purpose. He sent us into the world. Go into all the nations. Go and teach all nations. That's making disciples of them. Teaching them to trust him as Savior, to recognize that they are sinners. They need to ask God to forgive them. They need to ask God to save them. And when they're saved, then he tells us that we need to simply obey the Lord. In Asia, when someone gets saved, if they become a Christian, they go back to their families, especially the Chinese, the Indians also, but especially the Chinese, they go back to their families and they say, I became a Christian today. Well, their families will say, well, don't bother me with it. You know, that's your business. Don't bother me with it. And the family expects that after a while, they'll forget it and they'll move on. But when that person goes to their family and say, I became a Christian and I'm going to obey God and be baptized, well, then the pressure comes. Then the fury comes from the family. A public step of obedience unto God. You are going to embarrass us, your parents. You are going to embarrass your families. You're turning against everything that our tradition teaches. You're turning against everything that we believe in. And they say, yes, we are. We have turned from idols unto the living God. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What a tremendous truth this is. And we thank the Lord that we see people saved and baptized, because it's not just a simple movement. It is a testimony, a public declaration that they are going to obey the Lord. They're going to follow the Lord. They're dying with him, being buried with him, being raised with him, to walk in the newness of life. And again, for the Chinese, for the Taoist, that means no more joss stick burning at the grandparents' funeral at Qingming once a year. That means no following the monks around the casket of a beloved family member chanting. That means turning to God and taking a stand for Jesus Christ, because they understand this truth. That if they do not take a stand, their family has no hope. If they just give in, if they just say, okay, it'll be my personal salvation, then their family are for sure going to die without Christ and go to hell. They would rather have the fury of their family for a while and the hope of their salvation later. And what a blessing it is to see people willing to take this stand. We thank God for being able to associate with people with this kind of a change wrought in their life by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. And then we teach them not only salvation, baptism, but there is a call to, in discipleship, learning, growing in the Lord. And that's why we have one of the things, we've got Sunday school, and we also have the Bible Institute to help the people continue to grow in the Lord, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And too many times today, we've changed the word observe to the same word as see. We observe something, we see something. Now in Malaysia, on our north-south highway, we have the speed limit. It's 110 kilometers. So don't get real excited. It doesn't mean it's safer. By no means does that mean it's safer. But the speed limit is posted 110. And if you exceed that, you may be stopped by the police. Now, the police come and they say, did you see the sign? We say, yes, but you didn't observe it. There's a difference between seeing and observing. The word observe means to not only see, but to do. And the Lord is telling us to teach people, it's not just about seeing, it's about doing. It's about learning, it's about growing, it's about learning to serve the Lord and know His word and act upon His word. And what a delightful call of God that He would even want any of us to do His work. But He does.
Amen.
He allows us to. I mean, I remember when the children were very small. And a couple of times I was going to be painting the house, and James wanted to come and he wanted me to paint the house. Now I knew that if he was going to help me paint the house, it would take me about 5 hours longer because I would have to go back and clean up what he did. Plus, but you know what a delight it was to put a brush in his hand and let him be out there and work with Dad. Okay, that's how people learn. Work with Dad. God could do everything so much better if we weren't even involved. But He lets us work with Him. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His leadership. He gives us responsibility. He gives us His word. And He sends us into the work. What a blessing it is to be able to serve God. And so He has called us to discipleship. He told His disciples, these men that had really very little training at all, they had been kind of hit and miss in the early ministry of Jesus. They had been fishermen, four of them. And remember the day He walked on the beach, He saw them, they were cleaning their nets, and He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's the call of discipleship, to follow Him, to identify with Him. When the Lord told His disciples that if we're going to be His disciples, we needed to take up our cross and follow Him. The cross is not a burden. Too many times we get this wrong in life, and so many times over the years we've heard people say, "This is my cross to bear." That's not what Jesus was talking about at all. There is a very unique situation that dealt with the cross. And we find it in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Pontius Pilate had a sign written. And above that sign, he had, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And so he had his accusation written. And this was put on his cross. And his accusation and his person were identified together at the cross. And our cross is our identification with Jesus Christ. It is not a burden that we carry. It is an identification of who we are following. It is our daily identification with Him. I belong to Christ. This is why Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We are to be discipled by Christ. How? Through His word. Right here. Through His word. Are we a people of the book? Tonight, is God speaking to your heart? I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't sure about everything that I was supposed to do. I had a Bible, but I knew I was supposed to carry my Bible to church on Sundays. So Sunday morning, I'd get up and I'd say, "Where's my Bible?" Over a period of time, I found out I'm supposed to read that every day. I'm supposed to know where my Bible is. It's supposed to be right there at my hand. Because this is how God speaks to us. This is how He grows us up. This is how He disciples us. Are we a people of His word? He is calling us to be a people of His word. Are we that tonight? And the third call is to His service. I want to speak to the men and boys tonight about God's call, particularly to service in the ministry of the word. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, he said that to desire the office of a bishop, a pastor, a preacher, is to desire a good work. And I pray tonight that that would be your heart's desire. But it's not the desire that fits us for the position. It should be our desire, and it should be every father's desire to see his son prepared for the call. It's about expectation. Now, our boys, you know, I'm a preacher, and so people automatically, are your boys preachers? I'm not sure why they ask. That's not up to me. That's up to God. But I'm supposed to prepare them. I'm to prepare them to be preachers if God calls them. They cannot be dad called. They can be dad directed, but they cannot be get dad called. And so as a man, I need to prepare my own life to be called of God. And then I, as a father, I needed to prepare our sons' lives to be called of God. And one of the things I try to encourage every husband is your faith in God. Can your wife trust your faith? Your wife has to have faith in God personally. But you know what? Your wife has to have faith in your faith. Your wife has to know that your faith in God is sure. So if God calls you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and you come and you say, God called me to preach, she says, okay. Instead of, are you sure? She has to have faith in your faith. I remember years ago when we were in Bible college, God was dealing in our lives, and we were praying about where to go. My wife was reading a book. It's called Moongate by Effie Donaldson. It's about the ministry of Fred Donaldson in China in the 1930s and 40s. And so she was reading this book, and I would go to school in the morning. I would stop for lunch, and then I worked full-time in the evening. And so I stopped for lunch, and she was reading this book. And as I was leaving, she said, I want to go to China. And I said, write me. But God uses things in our lives, the husband and wives, and our faith in God to encourage each other and to enlighten each other. But He leads us through His word. And we need to be discipled, we need to be a people of the word, and we need to be looking for his call. In the book of Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul was encouraging the pastors in Ephesus. And he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and over the flock and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This is not a vocation. It's not a business. It is a work of God that he directs. And we need to be men and young men. We need to be prepared to listen to God in his leadership, in his guidance. We find that it is a sovereign call. It is a select call to an individual. In the church in Antioch, in the book of Acts in chapter 13, we find there were five ministers in that church. And out of those five, God only said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. It is a select call to the ministry, to a specific ministry, to an individual. It is a specific call to preach the word. We're not to go to Malaysia to make them Americans. We're not to bring civilization, so to speak, whatever that is anymore. I don't even know if that's a legitimate word in this world today. But we're there to do this one thing: preach the word, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See the Lord work. It is a specific call to the ministry of God's word. It is a singular call to labor in the field that is the word, the world, and it is directed by God. There is a call going out tonight. There is a call of God to salvation. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Have you truly trusted Jesus? Tonight, maybe you're not sure. Maybe you do not have this confirmed in your heart and in your life. I ask you tonight to not leave this place until you've spoken with Pastor. Get some time with him and say, Pastor, can you explain more about what I heard tonight about salvation? Pastor, can you take the Bible and show me more in my heart about what I believe is the truth? I don't understand it, but I want to. Will you help me tonight? Oh, I pray tonight that you will not leave this place until you have sought out the pastor and ask for help in this. There is a call to discipleship. If you're saved, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Have you submitted to God in simple obedience? You say, why should I be baptized? Well, there's all kinds of reasons, but I think this is the best one. Because God said so.
Amen.
That's what it all boils down to. That's what we used on our kids. I'll explain it to you later, but right now, because we said so. God said, and God's never wrong,
right.
Ever. Tonight, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? If not, I pray that you'll again come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need to be obedient to the Lord, and I need to be baptized. Have you dedicated your life to discipleship, learning his word on a daily basis? Husbands and wives, just because the children have grown up and left home does not mean you do not have family devotions anymore. You remember, the husband and wife are the family.
Amen.
And the children are blessings to the family.
Amen.
And just because they're gone doesn't mean that we don't carry on. And so discipleship on a daily basis, until when? Until Jesus comes. Until the Lord comes. God is calling. Are we expecting to hear him tonight? Are we expecting to obey him? Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your blessings tonight. We thank you for your abundant mercy. We thank you for your word and that we can hear from you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. And Lord, help us to know the truth of your word and your wisdom.